you can increase your profound capacity to love. That is Sean's mission. He's a podcaster and coach who has a conversation with me today about questioning our expectations in love. In this conversation, I have this huge aha about my own expectations for myself and for relationships versus the expectations I have for other people. It was a joy, it was an honor, and it was fun to talk about connectivity and intimacy in a way that made me hopeful and inspired and also gave me a tool that I will continue to use on my own journey.
Welcome to the Executive Shaman Podcast, where Dr. Crystal White and her comrades guide us to bring more wholeness, energy, and connectivity to our professions. We're ready, Crystal. Get us started.
Welcome, Sean. I'm really first honored and kind of excited for the conversation that it's about to unfold. And it's a just a good day when you can connect with somebody and they say yes and you get them to the yes. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I start with every episode asking the guest, what do you really do for a living?
I spread love through emotional intimacy.
Wow.
So I do that. I do that through the podcast and I do that through my coaching services. And the whole goal has always been to help people access a deeper level of intimacy with themselves and with others.
And can you share with us like why you said yes to this podcast?
I'll always talk about love. I've got a bottomless well of energy and passion for the subject. And it's my understanding and my belief that the more we talk about it, the more we spread it. And it's just not something that we're used to talking about that much and that openly. And so the more we talk about it, the more it gives people permission to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's important to me.
Thank you. Because I just wrote this book about love, and I cannot tell you how many people say, I wasn't expecting you to write about that. I thought you were writing a book about conscious leadership. And I really surprised myself that that was the book that I chose and decided to come out. And the only thing I can say about why I wrote it is exactly what you just shared, that we don't talk about our hearts as much as we talk about our heads or about our code of ethics or our leadership philosophies. Like under that are our love philosophies. And I just felt for my own self and for every loved one around me that I wanted to have a conversation about conscious partnership and creating powerful connectivity, which is a leadership issue. So thank you for that answer. It just was articulate and kind of spot on.
Connection is everywhere. It's all around us. And love belongs everywhere. I mean, Marianne Williamson's presidential platform is on love, you know? So it's really something that needs to be more mainstream and not in sort of a mainstream rom-com type of way, but in a really authentic, vulnerable kind of way. You know, because ultimately, deep down, we all want to be seen. That's like one of our greatest needs, everybody. You know, we want to be seen, but we have to talk about it.
Yeah, and we actually have to do our own individual work of seeing ourselves, which for me is never pretty. In the letter code, there's like four letters that designate how you like to connect and how much space you need and where you get your center of balance. And I'm a W, and that W's are like constantly balancing of leaning in and leaning away. And it's messy, right? And I don't think I wanted to really see that I needed both I need so much. And it absolutely matters that we understand that people connect differently, but there are some threads of common core characteristics that bind us all together. So my topic today with you is, our expectations in love and figuring out what are true expectations that you have and what are false or impeding expectations that you have. Can you share like why this topic, true expectations, resonates with you or what it means to you personally?
I think that expectations are really dangerous because they don't allow for a natural relationship to unfold. If I am expecting that you will act a certain way, I'm not actually giving you space to act in a way that is authentic to you. And, you know, you said love is messy and it's true. Actually, I think that love is actually fairly easy. It's personalities and people and loving those people that gets messy. So, you know, expecting anybody to act a certain way or to do a certain thing is a recipe for disaster. Mm. It's really a recipe for disconnection because it doesn't give them space for them to act or behave or do what it is that they really want to do. And I learned this a long time ago, and no matter how deeply I know this to be true, I still have expectations.
Right. Yeah, it's something that is so tricky and yet natural. Like every day I wake up knowing that I want something from the world. And the most beautiful thing is the world wants something from me too. And it's no different in our partnerships. And I think I wrote the letter code really to help myself have a system and other people have a system to uncover like essential needs. Like what is the most essential thing? Not the specific, superficial, outside, external thing that I expect, but like a true need. And hopefully that will raise our standards in relationships and our partnerships without demanding something or being like unrealistic, right? Do you have like a common thing that you encounter in the love drive and in your services where it's an expectation that constantly is derailing connectivity and love to flourish?
I think what I come into contact the most with in the work that I do with my clients is not necessarily expectations, but more the communication of those underlying needs, or rather the lack thereof. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to expect something from somebody, but not to let them know. It's a completely different thing to know what is the underlying need and also have the maturity and the language available to ask for that need to be met. Mm-hmm. That's a completely different conversation. Mm-hmm. Because when you invite connection and when you can have the conversation about, hey, I'd really like this from you. Not a demand, but a request. You're a lot more likely to get that need met. Mm-hmm. And I think the issue with expectations is they're not spoken. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, my expectation of you, often I don't tell you what it is that I expect of you. And how can I set you up for success if I don't communicate what it is that I want or expect from you?
Yeah.
I also want to be clear that we can expect respect, compassion, care, listening, presence from our loved ones. And they may or may not be in a position to give us that.
Yeah.
But if I don't have that conversation with you and you're acting in a way that doesn't make sense, I'm gonna get a resentment.
Sure.
I'm gonna disconnect. And you might disconnect because I'm acting in a way that isn't clear because there's a lack of clarity around what it is that we need from each other.
Yeah. Yeah. In my leadership groups, anytime we start to talk about conflict, there's a model I use that just says everything before conflict is like a little upset. Something is not right, something is kind of unbalanced. And in the book, there's guidelines of what triggers each letter to get upset. And a common theme for all of them is it's not really about personality or that upsets us. It's the fact that we expect other people to think what we think, feel what we feel, need what we need, want what we want, and that somehow it's going to be easy and natural for that other person to navigate towards us, right? Or it's the other person's job to fill us up without us having to guide them or help them or reach back out to them. I always feel like that is the expectation that is the most harmful, that it's your responsibility or somebody else's turn or job to love, to connect. I think that that's the one that I notice in myself the most that just shuts connectivity down, is when I put the responsibility on somebody else except for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think one expectation that we can all have is that people are complex little beings and that we were all raised differently. So we have different attachment styles. We have different ways of dealing with conflict, some great, some not so great. And when we put two people together or more people together, there's going to be friction. I mean, friction and conflict is a part of life. That's another one of my expectations. I expect relationships to be challenging at times. But that's not an expectation I'm placing on anybody else. That is how I expect relationships to be. And we will do the work to remove that conflict and to bring connection back into the relationship and to deepen our intimacy and to cultivate our love together. And then we will find other sources of conflict, because that is the human experience. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I just had an aha when you were saying this, that expectations that I have for a relationship or myself are ones that are going to inspire, motivate, validate love. And expectations that I have about another person are possibly going to shut it down, disconnect, or impede connectivity.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Thanks for that. That's awesome. Especially as I begin to talk about this book, which I still feel like I'm an adolescent talking about, like, what did you write a book about? Oh, I wrote a book about love. Mm. And I struggle with it. Like, I even just, that even the tone I just said that in is indicative of how vulnerable it is to expose the fact that I'm not an expert in this. I'm a wayfinder. I'm a guide that happened to observe attachment styles, psychologies, behaviors, and core longings. And I typified them in an easy to use system for myself. And I think that a lot of us have these undermining expectations of ourselves that we should be doing better. It should work more efficiently. I don't know if you found that in your experience or if you can relate to that just at a personal level of you're out there doing this work and you love the work. And at the same time, how do you integrate your personal life into this whole dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, this work for me is intensely personal. I often write the posts that I need to read. I interview the people that I need to learn from. And I go through the experiences that I have to go through in order for me to make this work more impactful. Mm-hmm. It's intensely personal. And I'm assuming you writing your book was intensely personal as well. It's hard for love not to be intensely personal if you want it to be authentic. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. It's tough to be somebody who speaks about intimacy and authenticity and love on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think
because
sorry,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think leaders who are leading and are out there talking about leadership philosophy and thought leadership and guiding other people and be compassionate and caring about your people first, because then they'll get the job done. Then I know that they go home and they're not doing that in their home life. Or that experts oftentimes, whether you're a doctor or you're a fitness trainer or you're even a hairdresser, right? Oftentimes they'll go home and all the stuff that they are disciplined and willfully moving with intention during the day, it just goes away. It goes out the window. And I think, like, I had this experience at work where I develop leaders and mindful leaders and leaders who are changing their actions in order to have a greater influence and impact for pro-social service. And it's highly indicative that home stuff influences work stuff and work stuff influences home stuff. There's no like separation or compartments of Crystal as a professional or Crystal as a person, because they're all connected. And the work of the day was really helping this one leader change his mindset about his wife. And at the end, like, he had made a commitment to date his wife again. And that it wasn't that she was ungrateful. It wasn't that she was not understanding him or not appreciative. It was that he had not put in the time for shared enjoyment and pleasure and just being adults together. And he was moved. This is the first time I ever saw this person cry, and was very thankful that we had spent the time talking about him as a whole person versus a time of talking about him and how he's running this specific committee. And it was moving, and I went home and I cried. It was like the first time where I felt like an imposter, that I was like helping somebody in his or her like heart space and mine was so empty. And it was just this awareness that I had somehow done really good work with another human being, and now I really could not deny that I had work to do with my own human beingness.
I think that's great. I think it's beautiful to recognize what our areas of development are. And that it's beautiful that that can come up for you in a professional capacity that impacts your personal life and inspires you to change. And at the same time, you know, what I learned through the coaching programs that I've been through is that we, first of all, we are whole beings, right? Mm-hmm. Buddhist philosophy says that we are born whole. So we have everything we need, number one. Number two, I don't need to have all of the competencies or all the areas of expertise to help you and impact your life in a positive way. Right? It's like the chef that spends all day creating incredible meals and experiences for people that nurture people and nourish them, literally, and then goes home and puts a frozen lasagna in the oven.
Right. Yeah.
It's okay for us to be wounded healers. And there are people that are authentic about that. They're honest about the fact that they have deficiencies. We all have areas of development. And just because mine sometimes happens to be in love doesn't mean that I can't coach you through your love challenges.
Right. Yeah. So the expectation really for ourselves is to allow ourselves to be on a journey in process, developing. I do believe that I need compassion in my own heart, and that is an expectation for me. Like, I need to give myself compassion, and I am limited in serving other people as much as I am limited in giving compassion to myself.
just had an interview with a Buddhist meditation teacher. And one of the things that we talked about was this ability to hold two seemingly conflicted points of view in the same heart and how that is the basis for compassion. You know, understanding that, yeah, you have work to do and you're a whole person.
Yeah.
Yes, I have expectations of you and I can let them go. I mean, this is work around dialectics.
Sure. Yeah.
So can I hold two conflicting views? That's also a sign of emotional maturity.
Yeah.
Two conflicting views about a person or a thing at any one time.
Yeah. However, it starts with self-awareness. You need to know what your views are and to own them in order to kind of hold them, right? I need to own that I'm angry as hell with you or the system or how this is, and I still want to be in a relationship with you or be in this organization, or, you know, I still want to go on the vacation. And it drives me crazy. You have to be aware of both of those things in order to hold them. And I think that where the book comes in, or where your podcast or your work comes in, is having the conversations over and over again enhances our awareness of who we are right now, what we need right now, what we feel right now. And those have a seat at the great table of life just as much as, you know, other responsibilities or other tasks or other achievements. But this is a conversation that we need to be mindful of.
Yeah. I mean, if I don't connect with other people about my experience, I have an appalling lack of perspective on what's actually happening. So the work for me has never happened in a vacuum. I need other people to reflect back, to mirror back what's happening or what I'm doing. What are my behaviors? How am I affecting other people? What is my impact on other people? And sure, you can't grow without awareness. Awareness, I mean, in coaching, we do two things really well. We create awareness and we create responsibility for change. Mm-hmm. But without awareness, we're stuck on the merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. Until we get into enough pain where change needs to happen in order to alleviate the discomfort.
Mm-hmm. So sure. If you had one piece of advice or suggestion or an encouragement for listeners on expectation management, what would it be?
I think it would be, what does that expectation bring you? Right? Why are you expecting somebody to act a certain way? Or what is that outcome that you're expecting or wanting? What will that actually bring you? I was at a Buddhist meditation thing last week, and the topic was about preventing burnouts in your career. And the idea was that we work because we expect the work to bring us something. Fulfillment, happiness, money. And in a burnout, we get a burnout because we keep working and we're not getting the thing that we expect to get. Mm-hmm. And so we work harder and longer and we push. And the whole meditation was around, what happens if you don't get that thing? Mm-hmm. What happens now? Mm-hmm. What happens if you don't get the happiness from your job? Where do you get your happiness? Where does it come from? So I like the idea of exploring what happens if we don't get the thing that we're expecting to get. Mm-hmm. There's a tremendous amount of freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about my business and what would happen if I couldn't sustain or grow a full practice and be a guest on Oprah's podcast. And I realized, maybe I would work as like a construction person, like building homes, right? Total 180 from what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
So there's liberty when you let go of expectation, when you can kind of explore what is that expectation going to bring me if it actually becomes fulfilled. And the dangerous thing about expectations is that expectations live in the future. They're not based in the present. Mm-hmm. An expectation is a gift or a fruit of some sort of future thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is not based in the here and now. And so it doesn't exist. And it's also really hard to fucking grasp.
Yeah, no kidding. Like mentally, you're like, oh my gosh, sometimes I'm not willing to be here and now because I'm so busy planning for the future. And there's so many parables and lots of wisdom traditions that speak to, you know, the ant and the grasshopper or the rabbit and the hare or whatever it is. Like constantly we are escaping our present situation by futurizing. And that is really helpful in many circumstances, many, many contexts. It's a helpful strategy to plan for the future and create a systemized growth journey that you are going to follow. And if that motivates you, if that inspires you, if that validates you, and that creates more love, go for it. And if it decreases your ability to stay in the here and now and to enjoy the blessings that are surrounding you, then it's time to reconsider, you know, how you're showing up and where you're sending your energy to, because where your energy is focused, where your attention is, that's where life happens. So just where's your energy? Where's your attention? And I love that you just said, what is that expectation going to bring you? What is your intention here? And just notice, be willing to notice, is your expectation bringing you more life? Is your expectation bringing you more suffering? And then choose wisely. And when I say suffering, I'm not talking about like sacrifice or hard work. I'm talking about like this expectation gives you pain. And when we started, you're like, listen to your body. If you just listened, I think that if I just listen, I'm talking to myself. If I just listen, then that's where love grows. So thank you for listening. If people are still with us after all this time, I am thankful and grateful for that. And thank you, Sean, for your time. Can you tell people where they can find you?
Well, first of all, people are definitely still listening. Thank you for continuing to listen to this amazing conversation. People can find me at thelovedrive.com. thelovedrive.com or wherever they listen to podcasts. I have a podcast that is published every Tuesday on spreading love through emotional intimacy.
Thank you. Till next time.
Thank you so much. Yep. Thank you.